Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye, and as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast, reacting to arguably the best win of the Denver Nuggets season, a 116-107 victory at home over the vaunted Minnesota Timberwolves, with the number one seed in the Western Conference hanging in the balance, and that is in a vice grip, and the hand holding it is the Denver Nuggets. Guys, off and rolling. Let's get right into it, man. What a fun game. What a fun atmosphere. What a signature win. And what a road ahead. The title comes through Denver. I was lucky enough to be in the building at Ball Arena on Wednesday night. Shout out the handful of listeners I got to see and give a pound to. That always makes me feel awesome. It was a great game, man. It was a great game. That you felt Minnesota's, not their presence, but you feel their profile of why we have been looking at them with not maybe caution, but extreme respect for three quarters. You saw, you know, big flashes of that that respect. And in the second half, Denver started to make hay, and then in the fourth quarter, what a treat, what a delight it was to watch those finishing touches put on it. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but you have to start with Nikola Jokic, who, guys, he's going to be the three-time MVP, the MV3, all right, become just the ninth player. That's going to happen. That's signed, sealed, delivered. But to watch him in a big game, on a big stage, national television, number one, I mean, this was the best game in sports yesterday. Okay, a lot of eyeballs on this one. And for Jokic to go out and have another historic feather in his cap, 41 points on 16 of 20 shooting. Oh my God. This dude is an absolute freak. He answered the bell and he dominated the best defender in the NBA. You're talking about the best basketball league in the world. And the best defender in the best basketball league. Rudy Gobert is going to win Defensive Player of the Year again this year, all right? And he's going to go to the Hall of Fame because of his defense. Are we on the same page with that? I just want to say that again. Rudy Gobert is going to go to the James Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. He is fantastic. He gives Jokic as much problems as anyone else in the entire sport. And Jokic wore his skin. He murdered him to a degree that's like, holy smokes. I didn't feel bad, but if I was an objective viewer and wasn't rooting for, so you look at that guy and say, poor guy, look at that tall 7'4" guy that's getting dominated. Holy smokes, 41, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. He scored 24 points in the second half alone. Jokic was an absolute demon. I'm convinced horns are going to pop up at some point. I mean, this guy is an absolute animal. He scores 40 points for the 20th time in his career. That passes Carmelo Anthony for the second most 40-point games in the history of the Denver Nuggets franchise. Looking up at only Alex English, who is obviously a legendary figure. Alex English scored more points in the 1980s, in the decade of the 1980s, than anyone else in the NBA. So that doesn't shock me at all that Jokic is still looking up at Alex, and I don't know if he'll ever actually catch Alex English in that department. I don't know if he wants to catch him. He does this out of necessity. Like, this is when he becomes the head of the snake and says, we're not losing, grab onto me. Everyone grab onto me, and I will keep us afloat. And what he did in that second half, it was a basketball masterclass. And to watch him do it so efficiently, I just, you know, we've talked about this through the years. You just run out of adjectives. You have to repackage what's old and try to make it new again. Because we've done all this, and we're going to continue to do it. because we have the best basketball player on planet Earth playing in Denver, Colorado. All right, and the Nuggets are going to secure the number one seed. I know mathematically it's still up for grabs. They're going to play San Antonio. You're not going to see Victor Wembanyama. They're going to beat the Spurs. That's going to be a culture win. And then Memphis is actively trying to lose. Denver's not going to lose those games. Denver's going to be the number one seed. All right, and it's just so darn exciting. Nikola Jokic, basketball royalty. Royalty. He is the king. He has the crown. He doesn't need, I've mentioned Rudy Gobert going to the Hall of Fame. Jokic does not need to play another possession of basketball. He could retire to Sombor, Serbia today, and he would go to the Basketball Hall of Fame. All right? But he's not retiring today. And there is a title to win. And he does have a third MVP coming. And I will tell you this, and I'm going to do a dedicated video why this is the case on my personal YouTube account this weekend. Go follow me. Just type in Zach Bye. You'll see videos like this one pop up. Follow me. But I'm going to have a video this weekend why, if things go down this spring the way I think it's going to go down, with the Nuggets winning a championship, Jokic is going to have his third MVP, Jokic is going to win finals MVP, I believe Nikola Jokic will be the greatest Colorado athlete of all time, passing both Joe Sakic and John Elway. All right, so look out for that video a little bit later this weekend. But in the meantime, Jamal Murray, still getting back in basketball shape. We saw him in Utah on Tuesday. I was okay if we did not see Jamal in Utah. I was not like clamoring. I actually was hoping that they'd rest him there and then play him against Minnesota. It's all good. He ends up scoring 20 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. He was fantastic to start the game. I think he made his first three threes, I want to say. But he was great. I say great. He was Jamal was really good. Jamal was really good. Aaron Gordon, the playmaker, AG, 9 assists. I see ya. I went back and went through his game log. I had to go back 4 years to find a game where Aaron Gordon finished with 9 assists. Okay, and believe it or not, it's not his career high. He had a game like 6 years ago when he had 12 assists in a game. It was just fantastic. And you see, I mean, like on a night where he goes for 5 points and 5 rebounds, you would think, oh, maybe not a big impact. No, I thought AG was really good. I thought he was really good. Had the reverse dunk on that play that they have that is just like it's like a math equation. Like, and I say math equation because in math, if you put this plus this, it should equal the same thing every single time. And that's what it is when Jokic and Jamal run pick and roll and Jamal comes off the screen, the big drops, so Jamal can't have a pathway to the basket. The guy guarding Jamal fights through the screen, and Jamal's got the attention of two players for a half a second. And in that half a second, there's a pocket pass to a rolling Jokic who's now at the high post. But don't forget the big was just acknowledging a fraction of a second earlier, Jamal. That causes the backline front court player, big, in this case, Naz Reid, to step up and address Jokic because Jokic could just go finish a layup. That ball is in Jokic's hands for 0.3 seconds. It's an anticipatory play. That ball is out of his hands and at the right corner of the backboard, really the box, the right corner of the box on the backboard, and Aaron Gordon is finishing it with a reverse dunk. How many times have we seen that play to finish games, right? But also to not finish games and just be a momentum play. It's one of my favorite plays in the game of basketball, and it's unguardable. And guess what? If you want to help on Aaron Gordon and collapse on that, which would be just insane like backline defense, you got open shooters in the corner named Michael Porter Jr., Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Which poison would you like, sir? So this is why the Nuggets are going to win the championship, all right? And if they don't, while they're healthy, it will be a Herculean effort in a 7-game series that finishes like in Boston, Massachusetts. Okay, I'm just convinced of it. I've been convinced of it the whole time. This is not a new take. But when you're there and you're watching it against a premier opponent like Minnesota, and it comes to winning time, last in the fourth quarter, last 5-6 minutes, I mean, you just, the confidence, the supreme confidence that I have in this group, it's fantastic. Michael Porter Jr., 18 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, grabbed 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Wasn't his best game. He still has big chunks of the game where he's just kind of floating out there, but he negates that when he's making shots. Like, when you're a shot maker and you just make shots, you can cross-cancel some of your deficiencies, and I thought he did that the other night. Nuggets as a team shot, you know, what was the final tally here? As a team, the group shot 55.5%. All right? That's fantastic. And when the Nuggets shoot 55%, all right, and they've done that 18 times this year, you know what their record is in the 18 games that they shoot 55%? 18-0. 18-0. No team in the NBA has as many times shooting 55%, and that is not an accident because the Nuggets play the right way. And when you play the right way, your team has connectivity, okay? The ball is not sticky. Everyone's touching it. It's snapping around, right? And when it's like that, everyone's got a feel for it. You feel comfortable within the flow. And when you feel comfortable in the flow, shots go down, all right? So that's not a mistake. That second half was fantastic. Minnesota, number one team in the NBA in point differential in the second half. But last night, Denver outscored them in points by 12. They outscored them in the paint by 16. Don't forget, Minnesota's supposed to be the big team, right? They're supposed to be the big team. They got dominated in the paint in the second half. Rebounds, they got dominated as well, 25 to 14. Assist, 19 to 10. Nuggets shot at 12% better. So just across the board, the best second half team in the NBA, all right, got dominated in the second half. And I'll tell you this, as we're winding down here, that game actually played into Minnesota's pace. They want to play a slower, grinded out game. And that's what it was. I mean, it was, and the final score ended up being a little bit higher than actually the temperature of the game, 116-107. I thought whoever got to 105 first was going to win. All right, and then in some of the back stretch, you got some shots and layups and dunks and stuff like that. Speaking of dunks, Christian Brown, hammer don't hurt him. Goodness gracious, this dude on like a three-quarter trap, Jamal pitches it ahead. Brown, there's two different types of dunkers, two-feet dunkers, and we have extreme examples on both on the Nuggets. Two-feet dunkers, that's Aaron Gordon. If Aaron Gordon has a choice, 10 times out of 10, 100 times out of 100, he will take a big gather step and use two legs to explode up in the air. Christian Brown's different. Christian Brown's a one-foot dunker, all right? And so if he's got a chance, he's going to dunk it 10 out of 10 times with 1 foot. But being a one-foot jumper, that lends itself more for rapid risers, all right? 2 feet, you have to load up. 1 foot, it can happen in an instant. And when I saw him take two quick dribbles, so he's galloping down the floor, but he dribbled, and then it was like he put it right back down again. And as soon as he did that, knowing Christian's game the way that I do, I said, oh my God, is he lining his steps up? And he was. And he put it on freaking Rudy Gobert's cranium. Switched hands. Like, switched it from the, you know, like the Jordan play goes from the right to the left on the, was that the Celtics or whatever? No, against the Lakers, excuse me. And Brown does that in the air and dunks on the defensive player of the year. That was incredible. And the sequence to come back and Michael Porter Jr. with the underhand lob. I mean, goodness, it's so fun. The Nuggets have done something extremely hard, and that is defend a title. Well, championship hangover. If they win the last two games, guys, they're going to set the all-time wins mark. The all-time wins mark is 57 wins. The Nuggets are at 56. They finish this the backstretch 2-0. It's the most wins in the history of the franchise the year after you win a title. That is unheard of. But what they've done is they've defended a title to an extreme degree, number one seed, while developing Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. And this is why they have an opportunity to win 3 and 4 titles over the next 5-6 years. That was just hilariously fun. Peyton Watson, what a defensive performance. 6 blocks, incredible. First player come off the bench and register 6 blocks for the Denver Nuggets going back to 2012. That is a long time ago since JaVale McGee did that. That's what Peyton Watson did last night, all right, to go with 3 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then the finish at the end, the LeBron dunk, the extension, set the place on fire. That was incredible. just flat out incredible. All right, guys. A really fun game. Here's the thing. We're just getting started. Playoffs are going to start in 9 days. 9 days in the NBA playoffs start. So I hope you guys enjoyed that game on Wednesday night. It was, I said, arguably the best win of the year right there with Boston and Boston. And when Boston came back to Denver, we were at that game and reacted to it here as well. Spurs, all right, Grizzlies, Sunday. We're going to come in here on Tuesday, and the season will be over. All right, and we are wrapping up season 6 of the Mile High Hoops podcast. Thank you so much for being here. And whatever happens on Friday and on Sunday, we'll be back here on Tuesday talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.